All right.
Hello.
Hi, guys.
Welcome back
to the Flick Chicks podcast.
I'm Jane.
And I'm Allison.
And how are you, Allison?
I am good.
We're doing great today.
I'm so excited. This episode, you already know what it is.
Yeah, you guys can see.
It's in the title.
It's all we've been thinking about for the past,
since it came out.
Since like, May 30th, a month?
Yeah.
For a month.
It literally is living in my head.
Living in my head. Nothing else.
No thoughts, just inside.
Yes.
Like, it's insane.
It's insane.
We know it's not a movie.
Yeah, but
we don't care.
It's media. I don't care. Who cares? It's really popular, so that's something.
Fuck you. We're going to do it.
Yeah. And it's really special because Allison and I were lucky enough to be at the perfect age for whenever Bo Burnham made his debut into the comedy world.
We were both maybe a little young.
But maybe a little young, but I think I would say the perfect age for me.
Yeah.
to really instill in your brain, really.
To really get sad. To really be the right amount of sad at all points in Bo Burnham's career. It's like, I'm not sad at all when he first starts. And now I'm super sad.
Super sad.
And here we are. It's like his level of sad has like increased at the same level as my level.
Yes. So we both saw Words when it came out.
Yeah.
In 2009.
And,
when he was 19.
Well, I think my actually first experience with Bo Burnham was when he did Zack Stone is Gonna Be Famous.
Yes,
which
yes,
is
yes.
On MTV. That's 2010. So Words already existed at this point, and I probably was not allowed to watch it. I don't doubt even my parents even knew about it. But I watched Zack Stone is Gonna Be Famous, loved it. It got canceled after one season. But then, you know, you go through and all the rest of that. I actually think Words was 2010. I think...
I believe it is, yeah.
I think it was something... His Comedy Central Presents was 2009.
Okay, yeah.
I believe. Let me look it up, though, just to be sure that I'm not spouting nonsense. Because what is 2013? Zack Stone's Gonna Be Famous... Oh, that's actually 2013. That was pretty late, actually. Let's see. Yeah, Comedy Central's Presents 2009, 2010, Words.
Mm-hmm.
Then Zack Stone is gonna be famous. So I'm like 3 years late. So
okay.
There.
Interesting. My parents weren't really big on the whole censorship thing,
mm-hmm.
which I appreciate now. I was already watching South Park at that age.
Yeah.
So this was small potatoes.
just strap in also. I think there's going to be a lot of singing.
A lot of singing episode. In this one.
So that's going to be annoying for everyone, but.
But yeah, he always had like the your older brother's friend, hot friend vibe.
I watched, my first stand-up special of his I ever watched was What?
Okay.
Then I went back and watched Words.
Gotcha.
And Comedy Central Presents. And Make Happy didn't come out till 2016. And I was in college at that point.
Whenever I listen to Words, I'm just transported back to being like a preteen listening to Bo Burnham telling me to burn my bra.
Yes.
And it's just fills me with wonder.
You're like, that's good.
That's good. That is the stuff I need.
Bo Burnham, for everyone saying Bo Burnham didn't get hot till inside, you're stupid.
You're stupid.
And you're wrong.
And you're just straight up wrong.
Because he's always been hot.
Always. Always. I just watched Zack Stone this morning.
He's so cute.
He's so cute. He's like 19. He's adorable. He's a little baby.
I know. He's always been hot.
Yes. Yes.
And he's 7 years older than us, so we're allowed to think
that. We're allowed to think that.
So Inside, written, directed by, I don't know, recorded by, starring,
cinematography
by Bo Burnham, and then there was a like senior producer,
mm-hmm.
and then a post-production team, which is not listed here, but is listed in the credits, that basically came in, once he was done, he sent it to them, and they like polished it.
Yeah, yeah.
If we will. So.
And it's dedicated to his GF.
Yes, Laura.
Lore, so sweet.
Her last name is something.
She is so good. I love her movie, Seeking a Friend for the End of the World. It's
she
an awesome
also
movie.
Directed Hustlers,
which
we, I think, have... Did we cover
nope,
that?
No, we didn't cover
it. I've seen it.
We need to cover it.
It's good. It's really good. That is actually, when that movie came out, is when they first announced their relationship officially.
Oh,
well,
yeah.
It had been speculated for a long time.
Well, they've been together since 2014, right?
Yeah, since he was 23.
Yeah, and she's like 40. She was like 40-something.
She was in her mid-30s.
Mid-30s then, but now she's
40.
Yeah.
Now she's in her 40s. Yeah, there's like a 11 or 12 year age difference between them or something like that. But that's when they officially announced their relationship first was when she released Hustlers.
In 2019.
So that's really recent. Yeah. Although I do think it's a little weird that he was 23 and she was 35. But they're still together, so I will give them the benefit of the doubt.
Yes.
Bo, I imagine Bo Burnham is smart enough to know what he's doing. He certainly is a lot fucking smarter than I am.
Yep.
And a lot fucking smarter than I was at 19. He was smarter, so I, okay, fine.
Go for it. He prefers the term prodigy.
He prefers the term prodigy. I hate that term young comedian. I prefer the term prodigy. We have been just devouring everything.
Yeah, we've been going through his entire discography, and... Yeah, watching a little bit of Zack Stone, I couldn't get anything other than the first episode because it was on YouTube and nothing else was on YouTube. So, yeah. But it was very funny, and which he like wrote, right? And when he was 19.
He wrote and I think maybe directed it and starred in it. Yes.
Really funny stuff.
It was canceled though.
canceled.
But I don't think it should have been canceled.
Yeah.
I think it should have gone on.
And also, we love 8th Grade. Yes, when it came out, we obviously...
We've done an episode on it. We obviously love Promising Young Woman, though he just acts in that. But we've done an episode on that.
Yes. So if you want more Bo Burnham stuff, we did both those.
We may have also talked about The Big Sick.
We did. I think we did talk about The Big Sick.
Which Bo Burnham is in. That's probably the reason we watched it. and we just recently found out that Bo Burnham was in a movie in... like 2010 or something like that.
With Gillian Jacobs.
Yeah. And the guy from Life with Derek, if you remember that
very
show.
Weird. So like pre-Community Gillian Jacobs. Yes. And like pre-Words, Bo
like
Burnham.
Same time.
Wild.
And it's called like Adventures in Sinbad. So we are going to watch that.
We're going to find it somewhere.
We're going to find it somewhere. We're going to watch it. And I'm pretty excited about that. But that is... like, the only thing of his I really haven't seen that's, like, movie-wise.
Yeah, me too.
It's the only big thing he's done that I haven't seen. I did find out recently that he is a voice actor on We Bare Bears sometime, which is pretty fun because I like that show. But let's go ahead. We're just going to go through a synopsis. Obviously, it's a special.
It's not a movie.
So there's not, like, a plot as much as it's, like, bit.
Yeah.
But we're going to go through, as always.
And talk about theories and meanings.
Give you a little, like, just kind of, you know, got to go through it in order.
For sure, for sure.
And that can be difficult to remember from our brains.
Definitely.
Okay, Jane.
Yeah. Unable to leave his home, Bo Burnham performs in a single room. He gives periodic updates about the time that has passed while he worked on the special with his hair and beard growing throughout. Hot. Also, he used to sing about how he couldn't grow a beard.
I know.
And now he has a beard.
After
singing Content, which is hot, that's going to be me after every one of the song titles.
And then that was hot.
And then that was hot.
And sad.
And
but
sad.
Keep in mind that every time we say hot, the and sad should be implied.
Yes. I think they go together in this sense.
Yeah. It's hot because it's kind of sad.
Yeah, definitely.
Not to
fetishize his sadness like they do at the very end, which is what, you know.
Not to fetishize our sadness. I'm in a Bo Burnham Facebook group, and they were talking about how they were like, I think this person just joined to say this, but they said, like, what kind of person joins a Bo Burnham Facebook fan page? Like, and he was like, I'm not trying to, like, come for y'all, because I do like Bo Burnham, but they were like,
that's so mean.
I know, they were like, are you guys, like, fetishizing your own sadness instead of doing anything about it? And I was like, okay.
Okay,
and then everyone in the comments was like, all right. Thank you.
Please leave.
There's 5,000 of us, and we really don't need this.
After seeing Content and satirizing white male comedians in comedy... He finds...
Himself.
He satirizes himself. That's what this is. He finds the motivation to begin making the special. I really like this because it's probably the first time I've ever seen, like, someone do a special where they just include the editing process in a lot of it.
Mm-hmm.
It's really interesting.
It is a very... This is such... I was really like... Okay, so when Bo Burnham announced this, he announced it, like, 2 weeks before it came out. There was no press.
No press.
Nothing. He just announced it on his Instagram.
He was like, here's a picture of a door opening.
Yeah, and then I was like, I'm going to pee myself. And then he posted the poster like a week later, and I was like, I'm actually peeing myself.
Yeah.
So he if you follow me on Instagram, you'll know. I was yes. fucking posting about it. And, but, yeah, so it is, I do find it interesting that, like, I was very curious as to what he was going to do.
Yeah, me too.
I was wondering, you know, how is this going to be? Because there's no audience. Like, is it just going to be bits? Is it just going to be songs? This is such an incredibly creative use of film.
It is. It is. It's so creative. So he performs FaceTime with My Mom Tonight, which is so relatable. Just such a good song. She holds her iPhone 5 no further than 6 inches from her face.
It's like slightly romantic.
It is. A song about the frustrations of FaceTiming his mother.
Yes.
How you doing, bud? I say I'm not so bad, and that's the deepest talk we ever had.
Yeah. Relatable. I will definitely, we definitely have to talk about this. I do think it is important, just going into this, to remember that Bo Burnham is an actor and an artist, and he's really good at it. And sometimes that makes us nervous because we struggle to distinguish between reality and persona of guy in a movie.
True.
And especially when that persona is yourself and you wrote it and filmed it and star in it. But it's important to remember that Bo Burnham is a liar and that art is a lie.
Art is, and nothing,
and
is,
nothing
real.
Is real.
Nothing is real. It's so important to remember that.
You meant to knock the water over. Yeah, yeah, yeah. But you all thought it was an accident.
Art is a lie. Nothing is real. And that really,
we have to
carry that with us throughout this.
Remember that.
Yes.
Or we're going to be nervous. I don't think we need to be nervous about Bo Burnham. And we can talk about this at the end, yes. like sort of once we get through all the depressing shit. I think Bo Burnham is fine.
Yes.
And I just wanted to put that out there. I don't think we should be nervous that he's going to kill himself or that he's depressed. I think he's fine. He's super rich. He's got a stable partner, got 2 dogs. He's fine.
He's fine. he then sings How the World Works to teach children about nature, but the sock puppet, Socko, he introduces begins to sing about historical genocide, worker exploitation, and the problems with neoliberalism.
This is a hilarious song.
So good. So good. The sweater is awesome that he wears.
Yes, honestly, this is like probably the first time in the special, and I know this is only song fucking 4. Probably the first time in the special, I was like, I already can't believe this was filmed in the same room.
Yeah.
Like, it looks completely different.
It's so impressive. The color that he uses is just so impressive.
Yes. Also, I love watching videos of people showing this to their babies, and their babies being, like, so entranced in this song because it's, like,
for kids, it's like
perfectly
in the,
for kids.
Yeah, it's like the way he made it is,
yeah.
like...
it's the colors, right?
Yeah. So in a parody of a product brand consultant, this is so good.
This is great.
He has a little Lou Bloom ponytail.
Which is hot.
Again, Burnham talks about companies needing to perform moral virtues, which is like,
the question is,
are you going to be on the right side of history?
It's no longer, will you buy, let's say, Wheat Thins? It's, will you support Wheat Thins in the fight against Lyme disease?
So good. He sings White Woman's Instagram about Instagram tropes. It's about Instagram tropes. It's about other stuff, too.
Mm-hmm. I think it's now... this is, I would say, the most controversial song in the whole special.
Yeah, I would definitely say so. It's also super catchy. It's one of the biggest, like, really gets in your head.
And it's also, like, one of the most well-produced songs.
Oh, yeah.
It's one of the only full songs.
Yes,
yes. Most of the songs are fairly short.
He does, like, a full, like, music video format
like
for this
four
song.
4 minutes yes. long. This is absolutely, I think, one of the most controversial pieces.
Yeah.
Now, I don't think critics have been very...
no.
Critical of it.
But
however,
okay.
TikTok has been incredibly critical of
yes.
it. Well, sort of. I think there's like 2 sides of this TikTok. And also, I am on the Bo Burnham fan side of TikTok, so I might not be seeing everything.
Yeah.
Criticizing him. But I think a lot of people don't like this song, or I should just say maybe think that this song is like a pure criticism of white women being basic on Instagram and, you know, posting
basic stuff,
stupid stuff, like trivial stuff or being fake, woke, on Instagram, etc. And I do obviously think that that's a huge part of this song.
Definitely, but that I don't think that is at all the only thing that this song is getting at.
I mean, no, and I think at this point you kind of have to talk about, like, so the first verse is like, haha, white women. But then the second verse... It literally is done. It's filmed in a square.
It's one scene and he doesn't cut.
But then, the second verse, he widens out to a full screen view. Mm-hmm. So automatically, that's telling us something.
Yes.
Right? Like, we're no longer in the square. We're widening out as this verse goes on. And the verse, my cat is dangerously close to this microphone. The verse is about...
her favorite photo of her mom... the caption says, it's been a decade since you've been gone.
Yeah, her mom's been dead for 10 years.
And she's still
writing an Instagram post about it.
Oh, it's so sad. It made me cry and the first time
really,
I watched it.
It made me cry, too. It's really sweet.
And she's like, give a hug and kiss to dad, implying that her dad is dead, too.
Yeah, she's...
she's like an orphan. It's really sad. And so you're learning, like, this whole verse, obviously, is just serving to humanize this person that we have been poking fun at this entire first verse, right?
And I mean, I think there is the idea of, like, it's very, like, men love to make fun of women for their Instagrams.
Yeah.
But, like, the people behind them are people.
They're people.
And the Instagram... can be, like, a very vulnerable place for many people. Many people are honest on Instagram. Mm-hmm. And then and then after that, you know, we go back to...
Fun stuff, like making, like, goat cheese salad,
goat cheese salad, backlit hammock. But then we also have the last little thing he mentions before the end is...
Three little words, a couple of doves, and a ring on her finger from the person that she loves.
Yeah, it's like, oh, are we making fun of that? Obviously not.
We're not making fun of that.
I also think, I've seen this pointed out several times, I think this is about not just white women being basic on Instagram, and that's kind of funny.
Yeah.
But I also think it's about men's bitterness towards women for doing what they wish they could do.
Yes.
Like being vulnerable and feminine and fun on the internet, stuff that I think a lot of men wish they could do but feel... like, the only way they can do it is by making fun of women.
Yeah, exactly. By, like, shitting on women for doing stuff that they want to do.
I mean, I think there's, like, a reason that everyone, like, pretty much agrees that this is, like, the most aesthetic song in the whole special, almost. He clearly put so much effort into making these little, like, shots look cute and aesthetic.
Yeah.
And I think that in and of itself is kind of a commentary on, like, how men wish
they could do that.
Because it looks good.
It looks cool. And, like, Bo looks hot doing it, okay?
And that's no cap. That's true.
And then after the song, it cuts. They have these little transition scenes, but a lot of the times they'll say something about whatever came before them, like the Jeffrey Bezos one. Right. But this one, he's watching himself sing White Woman's Instagram, and he looks tired
and he's in and unhappy. The complete dark.
Yeah, he looks unhappy. And just does not look like he's having a good time at all.
And I feel like it's kind of because he knew that that's what people would take from it.
Exactly.
Was making fun of women. Or maybe it's him, like, being like, oh, should I? Don't know. Genuinely, if that's actually how he felt. But, like, he clearly put that in for a reason.
I think that those, like, three, the middle verse and then the last verse and then this post-song scene, I think that all speaks to the fact that, like, it's not just about making fun of white women's Instagram.
And I just can't believe the amount of takes I have seen that are just either in praise of this song because it makes fun of white women. Or... not liking this song because it makes fun of white women. And you're like, you're both just missing the point.
You're missing the point. I've seen so many men, though, who are like, wow, I bet so many of you felt so called out by this. And I'm like, they're also calling you out, though.
Yeah, you're posting about this, making fun of women, because you're bitter. Which is why this song exists. And it's way more embarrassing for you, buddy. This girl's just having a good time.
She's just posting a goat cheese salad.
And of course, it's like, there is a poke, obviously, at the, like, performative activism of, like, white women on Instagram, like, posting a black square. Like, oh, wow, that's enough activism for the week, isn't it?
Yeah.
That's enough activism for
women. That's enough.
Incorrectly.
And no to the things you asked for.
Incorrectly, you know, attributing a quote from Lord of the Rings to Martin Luther King. That's enough activism for the week, am I right, ladies?
Yeah, but getting a dream catcher from Urban Outfitters.
Oh my god, that little Indian headdress part. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it clearly, to say that it's not making fun of white women for their performative activism on social media, but their lack of any actual meaningful change in real life, is obviously there.
Obviously.
And you cannot act like that's not really what the song is about. It is. But I don't think it's meant to, like, demonize women for using Instagram.
No, in the way that a lot of, in a way that a lot of men are thinking that it is.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I don't think you're getting it. I know you're not getting it, actually.
So that's our take.
Anyway, sorry if you felt called out by that, but you might be a misogynist.
Maybe take a look at that.
In a stand-up format, he questions the necessity of every individual voicing their opinions.
This is great. Can anyone shut the fuck up about anything for an hour? Can anyone shut up about anything for an hour? Which, of course, is ironic.
It's ironic because he's not shutting the fuck up.
And neither are we, bitch.
Burnham records a reaction video to Unpaid Intern, which is so triggering as someone who was an unpaid intern. Sitting in a meeting, not making a sound. His brief song about the
disposability
of unpaid internships, but begins reacting to a multiplying loop of himself recording the reaction video.
I think this is a really, like, interesting part. I'm going to say that about everything. But I think this is a really interesting part because it's like, oh, at first it's like, oh, haha, you know, whatever. He's doing, like, a parody of the reaction video. But then he's reacting and he's like, oh, I sound like a dick there.
I sound like so pretentious, like, but sometimes I say if I point out that I'm being a dick, it'll somehow absolve me.
But it doesn't.
Self-awareness doesn't absolve anybody of anything.
And I think that's such an interesting thing, because I do feel like a lot of this special, I read this article and I cannot find it, unfortunately, so if anyone knows where the article is or can find it, it's a good read, you should read it. But it was a criticism of Bo Burnham's Inside. And it was saying, you know, it's beautiful, technically it's like a total masterpiece, but they were saying that they don't like it because it feels like this special is him doing what in this scene he criticizes other people for doing. That, like, this whole special is just him being self-aware about him being problematic or his past stuff or him, like, being self-aware about the fact that he's, like, a messed up person or whatever. But obviously he says, like, self-awareness doesn't absolve you of anything.
Yeah.
And they're like, and it was also, the whole article was about how, like, low the bar is for white men if we're, like, willing to, like, fucking suck Bo Burnham's dick because he made this special where he's like, I have done bad things in the past and I feel bad. How we're just willing to suck his dick because of that. And it's like, the bar for white men is literally, before you get in trouble, be like, I did bad things in the past. And then people will be like, what a woke kid. Yeah. And it's like, but I do agree that is true and that the bar is incredibly low. It's on the floor.
But I think he makes that point in later on in Problematic with the cross, with the crucifixion thing.
Clearly ironic.
He's like, wow, look at, like, I'm a white man and I'm, like, you know, crucifying myself. Yeah, I'm like, that's obviously him making fun of that.
But I do also think that it's like, yes, we shouldn't just hop on Bo Burnham's dick because he feels bad about having made problematic content in the past, and because he's grown from that, that is, like, the bare minimum of being a person.
Yes.
But I also don't think there's anything, like, inherently wrong with him making art reflecting that, especially right now. Like, we're kind of going through this entire, like, I mean, we have been for a few years now, but this, like, change of
social reckoning.
Yes, and about how people are being held accountable for their actions and all this stuff. And I think we've seen, like, the actual gambit of this. And I think Bo Burnham is, for one, very smart to get ahead of it.
Yes.
Because if you have listened to any of his old stuff kind of recently,
It's kind of rough.
Some of it's kind of rough. And it's not, it's, like, obviously joking.
It was 2010.
Obviously self-aware. It's obviously everyone knows.
Yeah.
But it's still, like, there are things that you're like, did that need to be made? Like, was it coming from a bad place? No.
But did that need to be in there?
Like, no, it didn't.
No, it didn't.
And, like, there are interviews of Bo Burnham you can watch from several years ago where he kind of, like, talks about how he hates listening to his old stuff. Mm-hmm. And he's like, do I think... He was specifically talking about My Whole Family, if you've ever heard that song. Yeah. It's about how his whole family thinks he's gay, but he's not gay, and it's a joke, and he is gay in the song or whatever. Yeah. But... That's, like, one of, I think that was his, like, first very, very, very viral video, mm-hmm. which made him, like, super duper famous, and someone was talking to him about it, and he said, you know, I hate that song, like, I never listened to it, and he's like, I was literally 16 years old just making a song because I thought it was funny, and he was like, and was it coming, like, from a place, like, from a homophobic place? I don't think so. And he's like, but, like, ultimately, did it add anything to the conversation? Did it do any good for anyone? All it could have done is bad.
Yeah.
He's like, it certainly didn't do any good.
Yeah.
So I think that that's, I don't think there's anything wrong with him making a special where he does, and obviously, I do not think the special, I've seen a lot of people criticize this and be like, so narcissistic, blah, blah. And I think that's only, like, a fraction of this special mm-hmm. is about the anxieties of being someone in the spotlight who has been in the spotlight for a very long time mm-hmm. and has done bad things.
Yeah. I think a large part of the special is more about living in COVID and living in the time that we live
in.
And
this
like,
is a very, like a special, in my opinion, like if I had to reduce what the special is down to one thing, mm-hmm. which would be very difficult, I would say it is about anxiety.
Yeah.
Like, it is about the anxiety of being a performer, which is something he has made content about forever.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, like, Art is Dead is the first thing I can think of he ever made about hating yeah. being a performer, but that's worse, which is literally his second fucking
yes,
special.
Yes, he was 19 years old.
So, he's 30 now, and it's like, that's 11 years, and he's been making content about how he has a very complicated relationship with being a performer. And I think that it's about that, you know, it's about the anxiety of lockdown.
Yeah.
It's about the anxiety of, like...
Living in the world that we live in that's about to end.
Yeah, living... Climate change, the election, the fucking, like, civil unrest that yes. exists in our country. It's about all of those things. And how... I think it is largely about how does he, as a performer, fit in to that and into this world... And the anxiety of being a performer in that world, and what does that mean for him, and should he even do it? I think all of those things are accurate, but I don't think there's anything wrong with him wanting to make that, or narcissistic about yeah. him wanting to make that. And, like, I don't know, I'm just kind of the opinion that just because you don't, like, relate to something, or, like, doesn't necessarily mean it shouldn't exist, or that, like, other people shouldn't relate to it.
Yeah. Definitely.
And I think, like, yeah, I can't relate to his, like, oh, I'm famous and what do I do about that? But, like, I can relate to a lot of other stuff and I can empathize.
Yeah,
I
you suppose. Can, listen, you don't have to go through something for it to matter to you.
And again, I think he does realize that, like, it's small potatoes.
It's small potatoes. I think he does make that point.
Like, it's big potatoes to him.
Yes.
But small potatoes... In the grand scheme of things.
Definitely.
And I don't know. I think he's been making... I think the idea that people are like, well, this is the one where we're mad about this. And I'm like, but
he's like, been doing this.
Art is Dead. We Think We Know You.
We Think We Know You.
The last song of Make Happy, Are You Happy?
Oof.
Literally, he says, let's all watch the skinny kid with the steadily declining mental health as he attempts to give you what he cannot give himself.
Oof.
Yeah, that's not at all reflected in this special.
Not at all. That does not carry over at all.
They're just like, there weren't enough jokes to offset that one very serious point for me. I think it's very silly.
Yeah. He then sings Bezos One, which sarcastically praises Jeff Bezos. So catchy.
Absolutely one of my favorite songs.
Amazing. Burnham sings about sexting hot in a song of the same name before parodying a typical YouTuber's thank you video while holding a knife. That's so good.
This is a very weird manic part.
It's so manic. He's just holding a knife. A hint of menace.
It's so scary. It's like, oh.
I did want to talk a little bit about sexting. Do you have the picture? I probably have the picture of...
of the text.
Of the text, because I wanted to go into it, because I didn't realize what it said until you showed it to me.
There it is. Right there.
Okay, so you guys know during sexting, whenever he's obviously talking about sexting with his girlfriend, and it's really hot. But there's the scene where it's like just a flash of him standing up against the white background.
And there's a text projected on the back, but it's a lot of words, and it's only for a second.
Yeah, and it says, "No pressure, by the way. At any point we can stop. I just want to make sure you're comfortable all this, and please don't feel obligated to send anything you don't want to. Just because I want things doesn't mean I should get them. And it's something sometimes confusing because I think you enjoy when I beg and express how I want you, but I don't ever want that to turn into you feeling pressured into doing something you don't want or feeling like you're disappointing me. This is just meant to be fun, and at any point, if it's not fun, you can stop, and I'm sorry if me saying this is killing the mood. I just feel hot.
Very sweet.
Very sweet.
Hot.
Very sweet.
Again, bar on the floor.
Bar on the floor.
But I like when men... I like when men display to other men how this can be attractive and how you can do it and how...
It can be hot.
Yeah, and it is.
It is. It's way hotter for you to be like, hey, you don't have to do anything if you don't want to than like just expecting me to do something.
Yeah, it's nice to check in.
It's just nice to check in. Anyway, I just really liked that, and I think more men need to read that text.
I know. I read this tweet, and I just agree with this, that said that Bo Burnham is like a man that was written by a woman.
So true!
And I was like, yeah.
Yeah.
And someone was like, if you're a man that's written by a woman and you look like Bo Burnham, please hit me up. That's nice.
He performs Look Who's Inside Again, which is Allison's fave.
My fave!
And Problematic, which is so hot because he's just sweaty the whole time.
It's a thirst trap.
It's a thirst trap, that's all it is!
Again, this is the other thing too. People really have... I think a lot of people have criticized Problematic. And again, not like criticized in the way they're like, oh, it's bad. But in the way that they're like, it's very like, what does this... I don't know if people are like, oh, does he think this absolves him of doing bad things? Because, like, just acknowledging that you've done bad things doesn't absolve you of things. But again, I do think this is ironic. Like, he's fucking,
it's like a workout montage.
It's a workout montage of him, like, being hot against a wall with, like, light and a Peloton. And then he
does, like, the fucking belly button shit. And
he literally crucifies himself. Like, I think, obviously, it's not meant to be like, this is my true confession.
This is my true confession.
This is my apology video. I don't think that's what this is. I think it's him saying, like, it's him, again, being anxious mm-hmm. about what's going to happen to him. Him talking about how, you know, I think the Aladdin thing is obviously a humorous joke,
but it's like asking if people are gonna hold him accountable,
yeah, about the things he's done. And then even like obviously the end of the song is he says, I've done tons of stuff that was shitty, everything I did was lawful, but
it was
not
just,
very thoughtful,
it was just not thoughtful,
like,
it
I've
was
been
shitty,
and like when is it gonna come back for me, because it totally could, and
yeah,
it should,
and yeah, and that's what he's saying, it should come back for him, because like aren't you going to hold me accountable?
And he's saying like, I want to grow and I want to be better, but I'm always making mistakes. And I think again, it's still the reason it's kind of like funny is because it's not really his real like, I'm very sorry for doing this,
yes,
and I shouldn't have done that. I think it's like, it's his anxiety.
It's his, yeah,
this
exactly.
This is the anxiety special.
The anxiety special, very true. He speaks to the viewer a few minutes before his 30th birthday, revealing that he had hoped to finish the special before this date. He then sings 30, in which he laments his aging.
Great song.
Great song. Gonna play it so loud when I'm 30.
Me too.
I relate to it even though I'm not 30.
Yeah, me too.
I think it's just about aging.
Feeling like you haven't done enough.
It's feeling like you haven't done enough, yes. The song ends with him stating that he will commit suicide when he is 40, but he then urges viewers not to kill themselves despite confessing that he would do so if only it were temporary. This anti-suicide talk is projected onto his white t-shirt as he rewatches it several months later. This is one of my favorite scenes in the whole special. It's so sad. And I think that this, obviously, art is a lie, nothing is real, so it's probably not talking about maybe specifically him, but I think it does speak to, even if you're not actually feeling like those suicidal thoughts, it's hard to imagine yourself at the beginning of the lockdown and now.
Yeah.
Now.
How much different?
How much different are you, and how much different do you feel?
I wonder if I can find, I might have sent you this post, I think I did, of Bo Burnham on his own Reddit.
Yes. It was
several years
about
ago.
About what? Or no, about Make Happy.
About Make Happy. It was 4 years ago.
I think that's, yeah.
This is it. Okay, yeah. This was on the Bo Burnham subreddit, and it was from Bo Burnham. I mean, hard to tell, because really, like, anyone could be anyone.
That's true.
This could have been a liar, but I think it's, like, pretty commonly believed that this was actually Bo Burnham. But this was 4 years ago, and he said, had no idea this sub existed. Very flattering to see you guys talking, analyzing, picking apart the special. Bunch of theories on stuff that I think make much better sense than my actual intentions were. I am a firm believer that meaning a viewer brings to a work is much more valid than the person who made it intended it to be. So thank you for viewing it thoughtfully. Having people react and participate in the meaning of a thing I do is all I could ever hope for. I will not be lurking here. I think it would be a little weird for me, but I also think any good discussion would be ruined by me haunting this place, and you should feel free to talk shit about me once I start selling soap or some shit in a few years. I just wanted to stop by and say thank you, and for reasons I stated earlier, I don't want to give any answers to anything people have been wondering about, as I think the wondering is the answer. But I will clarify this, as I've seen it discussed here and other places. I am not suicidal. I have never been. There is no need to worry about me. The show was, for me, a healthy expression of emotions of what I think are very normal feelings given my circumstance. Worry about the dead-eyed ones smiling who are always acting like everything is okay. But again, thank you and have a good summer. Again, no proof that that's really him.
Yeah.
But I do think that, like, there are a lot of things that Bo Burnham, like, exaggerates because he either can understand those emotions and mm-hmm. then emphasizes those emotions.
Yeah.
Or he thinks that they'll resonate with his audience. I think that that's also something we can't rule out, that he's just completely lying
yeah.
and thinks that this will resonate with the group he has built. I know that Bo Burnham does, like, have social anxiety.
Well, he did talk about how he did quit performing yeah. because he was anxious, because he had panic attacks.
I believe, have social anxiety and maybe depression.
And I listened to talks that he's given on his anxiety,
yeah.
on like actual talks of him being not a comedian.
Yeah, but I don't think, again, that you really have to worry about him. Like, here's, I think, one great example of this, one of the best examples of Bo Burnham is a liar, is he always jokes about how he has a really bad relationship with his dad.
Mm-hmm.
Like, his very first song, My Old Family Thinks yeah. I'm Gay, about his bad relationship with his family. But in reality, from what I understand, they have a perfectly fine, normal, healthy relationship. Like, his dad used to run the merch table on his tours.
Aww.
And his dad, his Instagram's public, if you ever find it. I've seen it. I won't drop it because he doesn't have that many followers. But mm-hmm. he posts about, you know, Bo, and Bo brings him to the awards
yeah.
stuff. Like, from what I understand, they have a very normal relationship. And he has two older siblings, and they're all, I think, fairly close.
Yeah.
I don't think really. I just think it's funny. He knows it's funny mm-hmm. to be like, haha, my dad and me have a bad relationship because I'm a dude and that's a dude thing.
Yeah.
Even if it's not accurate.
Yeah.
And I think here it's like, he may or may not be suicidal, but I think it's like, he can understand what that feels like, or he can understand, you know, the inclinations that a lot of people have. Even if, like, you're not suicidal, everyone has thought about killing themselves, I think.
Yes, I think it's just your brain.
Everyone has been like, what if I kill myself if I could? Like, again, like, his temporary.
Yeah.
Would you kill yourself for a year if you could? And I think a lot of people
would.
I think a lot of people would kill themselves for a year. But that doesn't necessarily mean that you are suicidal.
Yes.
Like, I think that just kind of, like, no, not to, like, fetishize your own sadness here, but I think it fits into the brand of people he's built.
Yeah, definitely. Keep buying my shit forever. It's called a parasocial relationship.
Yeah, literally.
After an intermission.
I love the idea of you. Stop participating!
After an intermission in which he cleans the camera, Burnham rhetorically asked the audience what they think of the special in Don't Want to Know.
I love that song.
So good. It's so good. It's so catchy.
The organ.
I love it. In a video game streamer parody, he plays a game that consists of himself crying in a room while his streamer self provides commentary.
Press A to cry. This is really interesting. Before this song in the special, I can't remember when it is, there's like a flash on the screen. You'll notice, kind of like in Fight Club, like a little subliminal flash. And it's of this.
Really?
Of the Twitch commentary guy.
Oh.
He flashes in the bottom of the screen for just like a microsecond.
Oh, okay, okay, yeah, yeah.
But
yeah.
a lot, there's been a lot of, like, talk about was it intentional, was it on accident? I personally do not think it is even possible that that was on accident.
Yeah.
For one, if, like, all of us noticed, you think he didn't notice?
They were going frame by frame and didn't notice?
Yeah, you think he didn't notice or his entire post-production crew didn't notice? I think it could be a commentary on, like, because it's in a really, really heavy section
that
flashes. So it could be a commentary on, like, just a reminder that this is all fake.
This is all fake. Yes.
Like, he's watching himself do it with the headphones.
This is a commentary.
Yeah, exactly. Like, I think that that's probably why it is in there. I cannot imagine that he... Also, just in general, the way you have to make shots like that, like, where you green screen yourself into the bottom... You have to, like, overlay two images and then take out the background of your image.
It's a whole process.
It's, like, not a quick, like, oh, I accidentally left a shot in there. It's like, no.
He then sings the ironically upbeat song Shit about a depressive episode. Super relatable.
Yep.
Then describing being at an all-time low in his mental health.
Yes.
In Welcome to the Internet, the glasses are weirdly hot.
This is absolutely... such a good song.
It's like, so good.
So interesting.
So good. He discusses the origins and changing nature of the internet, encouraging the viewer to engage with diverse types of content, some upbeat and some morbid. After admitting that he does not want to finish the special because then he will have nothing to distract him, he satirizes Bezos again in Bezos 2.
And this time he's wearing one of those hunting suits.
He's wearing a ghillie suit.
Yeah. Very fun.
Because he ordered it from Amazon.
Exactly.
Exactly. Then performs That Funny Feeling, which is just... the anthem of my year.
So good.
It's just incredible. I listen to it all the time.
Yes.
Which describes a series of incongruous images and impending societal collapse. He attempts to talk to the viewer, but gets overwhelmed and strikes some equipment before breaking down in tears.
I absolutely think this is staged.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
There's a lot of debate on, was that genuine and he just caught it on camera or not. Hard to say. I mean, he could have had many, many a breakdown and caught it all on camera.
Yeah.
But I think one thing's for sure. He chose to leave it in.
Yes.
For a reason. But also, I just think it probably is staged.
I 100% believe it's staged.
I do not believe that he genuinely caught himself having a breakdown and then put that in. I don't believe any part of this is not scripted.
Bo Burnham is a pretty little liar.
Exactly. I don't believe a single bit of this is unscripted. I don't believe the part where he talks about how he wasn't. I don't believe any of the camera monologues are unscripted. Mm-hmm. I believe every single thing is scripted. And he, I think, like, regardless of whether it's based on truth or not,
mm-hmm.
I think that none of it is real.
Yeah.
And I think that it's very difficult.
It's very difficult to discern, and he purposefully did that.
It's difficult to remember that when you're watching it, especially because it feels so genuine.
Feels so real.
And he is such a good writer.
So good. In All Eyes on Me, Burnham sings for a pre-recorded track of an audience. Amazing. He reveals that he stepped away from live comedy 5 years prior because he began suffering severe panic attacks on stage. One of the, I think, few we know this is genuine.
Yeah, this is, I think he's, in fact, even maybe talked about
that. I think he's talked about it before. And that his mental health had improved enough by January 2020 for him to return before the funniest thing happened.
Uh-huh.
The song instructs the audience to get up and alternately hold their hands up and pray for him. Annoyed at the viewer, he picks up the camera and dances with it before dropping on the ground. He also, like, slips, and it's pretty cute.
Yeah.
It says yelps in the subtitles in the... Yep! I was like, is that a laugh? And it just says yelps.
Yeah.
After going about normal morning activities such as brushing his teeth and watching footage of the preceding scene on his laptop, Burnham says he is done. A flashback shows him with a shorter hairstyle and beard, and he sings Goodbye. Amazing.
I think that is my absolute favorite song.
Oh, it's so good. In which he reflects on his life. The scene cuts back to his long-haired, bearded self during the song, which incorporates several lyrics from previous songs. A montage shows Burnham setting up the room for each song for the special before cutting to himself performing naked with a spotlight on him. After the song, he leaves the room in a white outfit, only to be locked out as an unseen audience applauds and then laughs at him attempting to get back inside. And laughs at him, like, curling up in the fetal position.
Yep.
Back in the room, he watches footage of this on his projector as the audience's laughter gets louder and begins to smile.
I also like this. If you watch Make Happy, at the end, he steps away from his piano, mm-hmm. walks outside of this room, and goes into another house where he, like, hugs, it's Lauren, but yeah. at the time, it's unknown. Mm-hmm. He hugs Lauren and goes inside with her and shuts the door.
Yeah.
And then in this, it starts, and he's locked in the room that he left last time.
Yes.
So, I think, again, I think this is kind of a metaphor for two or multiple things. Mm-hmm. I think this is a metaphor for, like, his performing.
Yeah, right? For being, like, famous and...
He locked himself away, and now he's coming back out, and he realizes that coming back out is going to stop him from going back in,
mm-hmm.
but he doesn't know how he feels about that.
Yeah.
I think he feels good about it, but bad about it, too. Like, he's scared of us. He's said that many times, that he's terrified of us. That he's scared of us, but he's happy to do this because he likes to do it.
Yes, he loves to perform. Like, he always says that in all of his things, is like, performing is his favorite thing to do.
Yeah, he loves performing, he loves writing, but he hates us.
Yes.
And he's scared of us. And
but he needs us.
And I think that that's a big part of it. And then also I think, obviously, COVID. Like, the reopening of the world is, like, terrifying. It's
so,
like,
scary.
Once you're back out, it's like you kind of just
want to go back inside.
But you can't. Like, that's it.
That's it.
The world's coming back, yes. whether or not you like it.
Yep, let's keep going.
You're stuck. But there is, like, a happiness in that, too. There's, like, a little, like, it's scary, but... good
that things are continuing.
I think there is, and I think this is actually very real, that there is a giant, I mean, there's a lot of anxiety for a lot of people about reopening and going back to normal life because it feels like you never can. I mean, there are people even who, like, now are like, I don't care if you're vaccinated, I don't care if you're outside, I don't mm-hmm. anything, you should not go outside. And it's like, well, that's just like, when do you go outside?
When do you go outside then?
When is it finally okay? Because mm-hmm. like, COVID's going to be with us forever.
Yeah, it's always going to be here.
COVID will never go away, ever again. And like, that is the new reality, is mm-hmm. that COVID cannot be eradicated and it is with us.
Yes.
All we can really do is keep ourselves safe according to what scientists tell you to the best of your abilities. And it's scary to, like, leave the house, but also, like, you have to do it.
Mm-hmm.
You can't just shut yourself away forever because of a bad thing that happened once.
Yeah.
Even though that thing was a year-long bad thing, and lots of people died.
But here we are.
You can't not go on a plane again just because the plane before yours was hijacked and flown into the Twin Towers.
It's true.
You gotta get on a plane sometime.
Maybe
you don't. I don't know.
I think there are people who just haven't.
Probably. I bet there are people who, after 9/11, never got on another plane and still haven't. I bet.
I bet. I will bet money on that.
I would too. I would also. The 9/11 encouraged many people to never fly again. That's the thing. This is our 9/11.
Yeah.
It's messed up.
It's an amazing special.
It is an amazing special.
It's incredible.
The recording is incredible.
Oh my god, they're all bops.
The cinematography is out of this world, so creative.
It's so incredible that he did this just by himself in the beginning.
Yes. He has grown. It's amazing to see how much he has grown as a performer.
Yes.
It's amazing, I think, all of these songs, like, again... how much of this is his intention? How much of it is, like, what we are adding on to it?
Mm-hmm.
No way to know. He'll never tell us. But, like,
He'll
never tell. It, like, All Eyes on Me, I've seen so many people being like, that's about, you know, COVID, or that's about suicide, or it's about depression, or it's about retreating into yourself. Like, we're going to go where everybody knows everybody.
Yeah.
I'm going inside myself. I'm the only one who knows me. Or we're going to heaven where everyone knows everybody. Or we're going outside. We're going outside again where people know each other.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it could be about anything. It's about, you know, what you think it's about.
Yeah.
And to me, this special is just about, like, anxiety. Like, in general.
For me, All Eyes on Me is about making prolonged eye contact with Bo Burnham.
Yes, now that's true.
Now that is what that song
is
about.
Now that's for sure what it's about. Now, you see, it has other meanings, but that one is a definite.
Yes.
For sure, the meaning. Is being, like, blushing.
Blushing.
When he's looking at you through a TV and you're like, blushing. And you're like, he's not even here.
He's not even here. He's not even looking at me.
But I'm blushing.
But I'm blushing?
I'm nervous. Sweating.
Because he's making eye contact with me.
Mm-hmm. And I'm actually sweating. I saw a video that this girl posted in the Burnham Facebook group or whatever that I'm in. And it's her meeting Bo Burnham. And she was, like, talking about how she met him, like, a long time ago. And she's sobbing.
And oh, no! Oh, no!
And he's standing there. And he's got both his hands in his pockets. And he just looks, like, so fucking awkward. And she's like, ugh. And he's like, mm-hmm, yeah, yeah.
It must be hard.
And I'm like, oh my god. Everyone's like, what a nice person. But like, you can just tell that he's like, oh my fucking god, this girl.
It's not a roll call.
It's not a roll call. Oh my god. I was like, that would have cracked my shit up. I was trying to think. I feel like I heard Bo Burnham's going to be in something upcoming, but I can't remember what I heard that, or if that's even accurate.
I don't think I've...
Like a pre-production type thing.
Oh, I haven't heard anything.
I don't know. I hear a lot these days about him, so it's hard to remember if that's the case or not. Yeah, I mean, I think the special is, like, about anxiety, and some anxiety which we can relate to.
And some that we can't, but, you know, I think that anxiety at the end of the day is...
Relatable.
Agreed. Any kind.
Agreed.
But yeah, it's awesome, and you know, you guys should go watch it.
I mean,
I don't know why you listened to this if you hadn't watched
it. You absolutely should not have listened to this if you didn't watch it.
Yeah, I don't know why you're here if you haven't watched it. So,
yeah, absolutely, this is not one of those episodes.
This is not maybe one of those episodes.
Maybe we should have put that disclaimer at the beginning, not at the 51-minute mark. But hey.
Here we are.
Whoops. We're not perfect.
Yeah, you could say that.
I'm problematic.
Such a thirst trap.
So, I do have an article that's going to piss you the hell off.
You guys know what we give it.
Oh, it's a 10.
It's a 10 out of 10.
Perfect 10 out of 10. Not even a...
He stuck the landing.
He stuck the landing. I know.
Sorry, the picture is just a really sweaty picture of him from Problematic.
This is an article from Slate.com called The Problem with Bo Burnham's Inside. Confessional meta-comedy doesn't have any rules about the obligation to truth yet. So, I'm going to read this. First of all, I'm going to skip the first couple of paragraphs, which are the author saying that he didn't really like Inside that much.
Mm-hmm.
He said it was, like, beautiful, but it just kind of, he didn't get it. It kind of fell flat.
Okay.
But then he went into... several Bo Burnham fan pages and internet forums, and people were like, this changed my life, and this literally saved me, and, like, I never realized, like, how much I needed help until I watched this special.
Yeah.
Et cetera, et cetera, basically. So here we go. This is, like, the fourth paragraph.
Mm-hmm.
In those forums, I saw something else, too. Many, many people expressed deep concern for Burnham. A lot of viewers responded to the ultra-relatable misery of that figure trapped in that tiny studio, sleeping in a messy bed, living on cereal, desperately tormented, and desperately alone. Was he okay? And so a funny pattern developed in which some fans begin to reassure others that this was not Bo Burnham's actual life. He is a wealthy celebrity. He lives in a nice house with his partner, who's a successful director, mm-hmm. and two dogs. This room isn't where he lives. It's the opposite. It's an extra space he has to play with. It's his guest house, or his attic, or his studio. It's his guest house.
Yeah.
Turned studio. This was a character he created, a thing he was trying. Don't worry. As one commenter put it, art is a lie.
Mm-hmm.
The film is presented like a captain's log of a man living entirely in a single room for himself by a year. It's a fantastic framing device. Burnham might be depressed, and we know he has mental health issues, but he also has millions of dollars,
mm-hmm.
a partner he's been with for years, a family and friends, a magnificent career. It's obviously artificed, but that doesn't take away from any of it because it's still a parallel between the sincerity of art and a self-awareness. This person disagrees, the author.
Okay.
I disagree. Given the confused concern so many fans expressed, the artifice, specifically, the mismatch between Burnham's circumstances and his protagonist, isn't obvious, and it does take away from it. Confessional meta type of comedy, being relatively new, has not developed rules about the obligation to truth. Burnham's special thrives in that ambiguity. Framed by a claustrophobically dominant metaphor, inside is about feeling as if you were trapped inside, where inside means existence and on and with the faux connectivity of the internet and the hell of your own brain and the confining square footage of a plain studio apartment during the pandemic. I take no issue with the first two. It's the last bit that rankles. Opinions will differ on this. Does it matter that Bo Burnham was not trapped in a cramped, depressing, uncomfortable space that a lot of people actually non-metaphorically occupied? Or is he conflating immensely interesting artistic and existential questions with mundane but urgent material ones? I realize this sounds like a privilege argument, and in a certain space, it is. I do question the choice to situate the story of your own misery, and I believe Burnham's pain to be real, in squalid conditions, not to make your own to make suffering seem greater. I'll go further. As a piece of social commentary, I find it, the framing device, clunky. Say, to take only a more extreme case, that you see a modern condition as one of detachment, rootlessness, and precarity. Should you, a wealthy but tortured creator, channel this into art by presenting yourself as literally homeless, and then encourage confusion between the character you're playing and yourself? None of this is to say wealthy creators should refrain from tackling universal issues. And my main frustration has to do less with that than any of the genre, specifically the tiresome perils of nonfiction, to which Inside makes at least a partial claim. People have argued over works like David Sedaris's should be called nonfiction given their relaxed approach to truth, but most agree you can exaggerate upward to make a story funnier. But can you exaggerate the other way? Can you make your story even more of a bummer? Doesn't matter, not even ethically, but in terms of a juicy narrative payoff, if the spine of your story isn't true. We all know comedians punch up jokes and make stuff up completely. The thing that happened as they were walking down the street last week or at the airport waiting in line usually didn't, and no one cares.
I just think it's interesting because if you go and look at Bo's, like, other specials and stuff, he talks about, like, how he doesn't tell a lot of jokes about stuff that actually happened. He's like, no, that actually happened? Cool.
Yeah, it didn't. I also, he says, there's one of his comedies where he says, if you want to see a stand-up comic that tells the truth, go see another stand-up comic.
Yes.
Because I lie. I also do think, like, just taking a break from this article for a second, I think that sort of the argument here is, like, is Bo Burnham fetishizing people's real situations to make his situation seem worse so people will empathize with him more? I think it's more like, if this is a special about anxiety and feeling trapped, it just makes sense to record that in a very small room, trapped space. And I'm sorry, but yeah, it requires a little bit of fucking mental work.
Yeah.
It does require that you take a fucking step back and think, this isn't real.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm sorry, if you see a really good movie that really affects you, you understand that the characters are lying.
Yes.
It's fiction. You should consider this fiction. It is fiction.
It is fiction.
It is not real. It is... And... if you actually think that Bo Burnham spent a whole year in his guest house, that's just, like, not accurate.
That's not real.
And I'm sorry if, like, that... And I get it. He is... And he is making use of, like, this performance aspect, right? Mm-hmm. That he is... I think that there is, like, a certain level of... We expect a certain thing from performers now where we expect, like, a certain authenticity.
Yeah, certain honesty.
That... We kind of have, like, gained from Instagram influencers, basically.
Yeah.
Like, it's, you, like, come to expect that people are telling you the truth and that the way people present themselves when they're presenting to be themselves is authentic. But, like, just like Instagram influencers are fucking liars and they don't eat the shit they say they eat, mm-hmm. and they don't whatever, Bo Burnham is a liar.
Yeah.
And I think... Instagram influencers actually have a much higher ethical code to uphold than Bo Burnham does. Because Bo Burnham isn't selling you anything.
No.
Except his own art. Bo Burnham is not telling you that this is actually real. He has made it very clear that, like, there's Bo and there's Robert.
Yes.
And Bo is a performer. Mm-hmm. And he lies. And he makes stuff up. And he has a persona. And Robert is a guy who we don't know at all. Yeah. And we will never know. Because it's not our business.
Yes.
But, like, Instagram influencers, in my opinion, have a much higher moral code. Should have a much higher moral code. Because they are trying to sell you bullshit. They're saying, I eat this and I look this way because I do this. So buy this product. Mm-hmm. And it's like, that's not accurate either. And that is a little fucking gray area.
Yeah, there. Exactly.
But, like, you, as the consumer of media,
yes,
need to recognize that, like, not everything you see is true. And I don't think that there is a moral obligation to set your movie in a mansion because you live
in a mansion.
Like, Bo doesn't live in a mansion. Robert lives in a mansion. Bo is fake and recorded this special. This special was recorded in his studio or his guest house or whatever. Mm-hmm. I don't think there's anything wrong with that. And I think, like, to argue that it's like, I get it. I do get it that it's like,
I feel tricked. They feel tricked, yes, right?
You feel tricked. And I get it. And it's like, it's not fun to trick me when they're like, there are people living like this. And it's like, but that's why he said it there. Because there are people who can understand this exact mm-hmm. thing. And metaphorically.
It's also metaphorical.
Metaphorically, it works beautifully in with the frame of, like, feeling trapped and feeling stuck mm-hmm. and all of that.
Which doesn't have to, like, he can feel stuck and live in a mansion.
Yeah.
He can feel trapped.
When he pretends to hit the button on the laptop and the voices laugh, that's fake. He put that in post. They're not really laughing. He's just pretending to hit a button on a laptop. It's like movie magic.
Movie magic.
Movie magic. Not all films that have snow film in the winter, okay?
He didn't actually do Sako's voice while he was singing.
No, he's not an amazing ventriloquist.
He's not a ventriloquist.
Pre-recorded. Like, that is... It's not real. And I get it. It's like, well, you're presenting this as like a form of reality. And it's like, because I am a good actor, writer, director, producer.
Yeah.
Because I'm very good at what I do.
And if you can't think that through, then isn't that kind of on the viewer?
It's not like Bo Burnham. And I there are people like who obviously do kind of weaponize and monetize sadness. And who, you know, pretend to have problems or, like, I think, like, queer baiting is, like, a term
yeah.
that people use when they, like, use gay to sell their mm-hmm. stuff, but mm-hmm. they're not actually gay. I don't know, like, mental health baiting, depression baiting,
yeah.
I don't know. I think that there are people who do that and do it unethically in the way that there is, it literally is no way to tell whether or not they're being honest. Mm-hmm. I think that that is a part of life, and people lie all the time, and there are probably people in your own life who lie to you about shit that is not true because they get something out of it or whatever. Mm-hmm. Maybe it's not money, but in this case, it would be money. But I think Bo Burnham makes it incredibly clear
yes.
that he is a liar.
Throughout his entire career, he has told us he's a liar.
Yes, and, like, Inside is... obvious. I think that there are things in Inside which do point to the fact that this is fake. I'm making this up.
Mm-hmm.
But not as much as there are in many of his other specials
yeah,
where he literally will come out to be like, just a reminder that I'm fine and this is whatever.
And he's like, oh, back into my persona.
Exactly. Oof. There's a lot of this that doesn't exist as much in this. But this also is not a live audience.
Yeah, so it might just be more difficult.
You also just have, like, I don't know. Like, look it up. Like, think critically for a second. Mm-hmm. Do you really think he locked him? Bo Burnham, multimillionaire.
Just had a movie win an Oscar.
Lived by himself in a tiny studio apartment that is shitty and ate cereal every day and worked on this for a year. Be honest with yourself. Do you really think that happened? Time to look in the mirror. If you think that happened... you are fetishizing Bo Burnham a little too much.
A little too much.
You're giving him a
that's coming from us.
Little too much credit. I don't think that. I mean, like you said, I mean, people lie to make their jokes funnier. So why can't you lie to make your stuff more relatable?
Yeah, it's true.
And this is again, this isn't a documentary. Like nowhere on this is a documentary.
Nope.
Like this is not a documentary It is a special.
Mm-hmm.
A fictional.
It's one man show.
When he comes up on stage and he sings a song about how Justin Bieber is possessed by Satan. Does he actually know Justin? No, it's fucking comedy.
It's a joke. Didn't think I had to explain. Didn't think I had to spell it out for you.
Yeah, I mean, let me see. James, I'm picking back up. James Acaster, the British comic whose remarkable 2019 show, Cold Lasagna, Hate Myself, 1999, feels like a useful point of comparison for Inside. Was not, in fact, going into the witness protection program, as he repeatedly insisted in his older 2016 show, Reset. Neither did he use one of the industrious bee to make 5 jars of honey. I don't know what that means.
I
didn't watch that. I'm going to skip ahead.
Because he mentions Cold Lasagna, Hate Myself, 1999 a lot.
Yeah, he does.
There's like four mentions.
Mentions of that.
Oh, no. Oh.
Okay, let's skip down. Would Cold Lasagna hit differently if, through tormented by anxiety, Acaster never actually had a girlfriend who left him for Mr. Bean? If the aggrieved fan reactions to John Mulaney divorcing his wife demonstrate anything, it's that people cling to apparently autobiographical aspects of comedy specials they thought were true, like Mulaney adoring his spouse, even when the shows aren't remotely serious or especially confessional.
I'm sure you've adored a spouse at some point.
What happens when the whole show is about pain? Okay, not to jump on John Mulaney drama, but I will, because I also like John Mulaney.
Mm-hmm.
It is none of our fucking business why John Mulaney is divorcing his wife. Literally, I know that in his specials, he's a wife guy. I get it. He makes a lot of joke about loving his wife, and it's really sweet. And mm-hmm. we all
loved it,
and we all want that to be true. But John Mulaney
is a performer.
We don't know anything about him or his wife's life. We don't know any of the shit that he has said is true. Mm-hmm. It's probably not. And John Mulaney does not owe us one single tiny bit of explanation as to why he is getting a divorce from his wife.
It's true.
And people who are mad about that are fucking parasocial scum.
Yes!
Like, you have absolutely no right to be mad about a celebrity living their life legally, ethically, not fucking with people. They're liars. They're performers, and you need to I'm sorry, that's like getting mad at Chris Evans because he's not actually Captain America. And it's like
that's like Republicans getting mad that Bradley Cooper's a Democrat whenever he played the American Sniper.
Okay, this is actually maybe even a better comparison to this because those are obviously characters, right? They didn't write them. Mm-hmm. They're not claiming to be them. Stephen Colbert had a show for like a million years where he played a guy named Stephen Colbert, which is his real name, mm-hmm. played a guy who was a hardcore right-wing Republican.
Mm-hmm.
Stephen Colbert is a flaming leftist.
Yes.
Okay? He is playing a character of himself to point out the ridiculousness of the right wing, right?
Yeah.
But should we be mad at Stephen Colbert?
He's a liar.
For not actually being a Republican? Like, and obviously that's a much more exaggerated version of, like, the persona. But it's still a persona.
Yeah.
Should I be mad at Colin Jost for not actually being a news anchor? Because he does Weekend Update? He's a writer. He's a comedy writer, brother. Like, John Mulaney is a comedian. You have no right to his actual personal life. Mm-hmm. I know that they use their real names and use some real life stories, and that can be confusing.
And then you get attached.
I get it. And that's, it. Obviously, I think that's very normal.
Mm-hmm.
But in my opinion, this is just like people who are like obsessed with K-pop stars and yeah. don't think that K-pop stars, there are like legitimately things where K-pop stars aren't allowed to have relationships because their fans have to feel like they could date that K-pop star. Even though that is obviously fucking wackadoo.
Delusional.
Even though the idea that you have any fucking chance with a K-pop idol is out the door wackadoo, they force these people to live such incredibly cultivated lives so that their fans can feel better about owning their personalities. That's messed up.
It's messed up.
And I think everyone, like most people at this point, very much agree that like the K-pop system is abuse.
Yes.
This is the same as like the old Hollywood system. Like old Hollywood, where we own your personality and everything you do is cultivated and mm-hmm. you will dye your hair and we'll change your name and you're only allowed to date who we say and mm-hmm. you gotta take these drugs, like all that stuff. Everyone pretty much agrees that that's very like abuse. Like that's abuse.
Yeah.
So why is it okay to feel that way when John Mulaney divorces his wife? Or when Bo Burnham lies about being stuck inside a room? When Bo Burnham lies about his financial state, even though that information is readily available,
yes.
they're not ever claiming that any of that shit is true. Like, how can you possibly, I don't know, it's like, Think critically. Like, I understand it feels very, when I learned that John Mulaney was divorcing his wife, I was very sad.
It was very sad.
But ultimately,
it's none of my business.
What do I care?
Yeah.
John Mulaney's still gonna be funny.
He's still gonna be funny. He's still gonna be making a special, as far as I know.
His wife wasn't really doing anything for me anyway.
Yeah.
What fuck do I care? I don't.
Still gonna watch a special?
Bo Burnham lied about being single for 5 whole years, okay? Am I mad at Bo Burnham because I thought he was available for 5 years when in reality he was in a loving relationship? What a liar. No! Jesus Christ. I mean, this person says, I know my answer. If the inciting incident or plot is merely metaphorical, then a confessional special's impact declines, no matter how eloquent its portrayal of anxiety or dread or self-loathing. So much of it, its effect depends on the claim, not true anywhere else in comedy, that the stakes are real. What? And I just disagree with that.
I disagree with that.
It's like, knowing it's fake makes it worse. And it's like, no. In fact, in my opinion, knowing it's fake makes it much more impressive because it feels so real.
It feels so real.
That it really speaks to Burnham's talent as a writer
yes.
and performer.
Definitely. I agree.
Burnham's special deserves much of the praise it's gotten. Inside is a major technical achievement, and it took immense talent in a dozen different fields to put it together. The best parts of the special flesh out his peculiar and fascinating position as a talented creator with the creator's unattractive but real need for validation. This is the other thing, too. This author consistently comments on, like, and I believe that Bo Burnham is mentally ill, and I do believe he has an intense mm-hmm. need for validation, and it's like, you don't know anything.
You don't know anything about
that. You're just saying, like, there's one part of this that you know is false, and that's what you're, like, staking yeah. your mad on. But how do you know any of this is real?
Exactly.
It's a very long, cultivated persona, and I'm sure, like, again, I do believe that some of it probably is real. Like, I don't think you could write this.
Yeah, and
I have ever experienced these emotions.
And I do think that, like, he probably quit comedy because he was having panic attacks on stage. Like, that seems pretty genuine. And, you know, it does seem pretty genuine that he does have, like, some issues. But, like, who cares if he exaggerates?
And also, you can't be like, I'm mad because this is fake. But it's interesting because this part's true. And it's like, how do you know it's true? Did you talk to him? You talk to his therapist? You didn't. Like, you're just assuming, again, that this is a real part of it. And it's like, regardless if it's real, does it matter? Like, he's a good performer, and if it meant something to you and it resonated with you because you have those real feelings.
Just
because
it's not real for him doesn't make the feelings that you had about it any less valuable.
And I don't think, it's not like he's, again, like, I cannot speak to Bo Burnham's mental state. I do not know him.
Yes.
I cannot speak to, does he crave validation? I can't speak to any of that. I can guess, I can assume, mm-hmm. but I can't actually, like, know, just like this person can't know. I can assume Bo Burnham's opinions on many things, mm-hmm. but I can't really know. Could all be live. Bo Burnham could be a fucking tea partier, for all I know. Like, literally. But I don't think that, like, he's making light of or, he is profiting off of this if it's a lie, but, like, he's doing it respectfully. He's making good work. I mean, like, should I be mad at Chloe Zhao?
Yeah.
Should I be mad at Chloe Zhao for making a movie about van life, even though Chloe Zhao is rich and does not live in a van? Like, no.
No.
Like, I understand that, like, yes, she's profiting off of these people's, like, hard time.
Yeah, she's profiting off of other people's reality.
But that, but she's also bringing that reality into the mainstream.
Exactly.
And she's also respecting that reality and portraying it in a very nuanced, accurate way. Mm-hmm. So it's not like she's, you know, doing it poorly. I don't know. I think it's wrong. Whatever. But yeah, I mean, he says that, for example, when he starts screaming at the audience, he hopes is watching but suspects of being on their phone. In a twist I find genuinely and intentionally hilarious, given the artifice of the whole construct, he demands sincerity. He wants them to actually lift their hands up. I mean, I don't think Bo Burnham actually expected that you were going to stand up out of your seat and pray. But whatever. Maybe he did. I don't know. When it strayed from this to broader themes, it struck me as a little generic. White Woman's Instagram, to choose one very popular bit, was a slickly produced, if somewhat hackneyed setup of influencer performity whose twist was the rebel, emphasized by the camera pulling out of the trademark aesthetic square, that silly Instagrammers are real individuals with private struggles. This is true, of course, but doesn't feel in retrospect like a searing insight.
Okay.
And while Burnham's beautifully articulates the hells of internet disconnection and overstimulation, those themes are sufficiently resonant or generic that the Marines are using identical arguments in their recruitment ads.
Hey, Bo Burnham didn't completely come up with this idea, so you shouldn't like him.
Or it's not as good, because it's not a 100% genuine new Socrates-level thought. I don't doubt that Burnham feels much or even all of the angst that Inside depicts. Again, you literally have no right to say that and then criticize that
that
the setting is fake.
How do you know that's real, though? You don't know.
Perhaps he is a young creator who feels old, a rich person who feels poor, a man with more than usual freedom who feels trapped in a tiny space. These interesting and extremely human but abstract dissatisfactions suffer by the dint of forced comparison to crappy conditions real people lived with during the pandemic. No, it does not. If Instagram women use filters and staging to make their lives seem better and accidentally make them seem frivolous or insubstantial, Inside is no less artificial when it uses not just cameras but setting to make Burnham's life seem even worse.
But
there's nothing else we can say that hasn't been said.
Yeah, I know. I'm like, but...
or maybe he is just playing a character. Last paragraph.
I mean, so you got to it. You got there.
Nevertheless, maybe he's just playing a character in every man, eating cereal and feeling like a saggy, massive bag of shit, who also happens to be a performer like Burnham. To me, fudging that difference made it hard to care. But those discrepancies didn't appear to matter to people who loved it, and it didn't matter to them. It matters to me. Maybe what Bo Burnham had to say about guilt and isolation and boredom and vanity and hopelessness and anxiety was profound enough to annihilate any irksome mismatches between the irony and the truth. Never mind. Maybe the spiritual malaise he has captured mattered more than the metaphor it came in. Maybe that's a measure of something Burnham understands about truth on the internet that I still don't. I guess it is.
Listen, he got there, but then he was like, nah, he couldn't be playing a character.
He was like, last paragraph, maybe I get it. But
No, I don't. Wow. I don't think that person really got it.
I mean, they did state very clearly at the very beginning of the article that it fell very flat for them. They did not relate. So I think that that's also a big part of it, is maybe if you don't relate to this literally at all, it could be difficult to see why people are so profoundly impacted by this.
Yes.
Because if you have never felt any of these feelings, it probably does feel very disingenuous.
Yes, yeah.
But if you are a person who has literally... You're like, how did Bo Burnham step into my head and take out the thoughts from my head? It doesn't feel disingenuous, even if it is disingenuous. He captured it very realistically. I think there is no argument that this is an incredibly well-produced, well-directed, well-written, well-performed special.
I mean, it's just beautiful in every way.
And I have seen absolutely no criticisms of it in that. All the criticisms I have seen of it are that it feels disingenuous or that it feels narcissistic, which... In my opinion, this is like the same thing people criticize about BoJack Horseman.
Yeah.
Is that it insists upon itself. Which I guess is kind of accurate.
That's such a good way to say it.
I can't disagree because they're kind of right.
Yeah.
But
I like it.
But I like it. And it resonates with me.
Very much so.
In a way that content hasn't resonated with me before.
Yes.
And it feels, it sounds so stupid to say this, but I'm going to say it. It feels life-changing.
It feels life-changing. It's not stupid, Allison. It's not.
I feel that my life has been significantly altered by this special.
Yeah.
I feel that BoJack Horseman significantly altered my life.
They're very much so.
And maybe that's dumb, but some of you probably felt your life was significantly altered by, like, some bullshit that I hate.
It's like some Grey's Anatomy bullshit.
Yeah, and I think Grey's Anatomy is the dumbest bullshit I've ever seen. But, like, whatever, if you related to it on some weird level that I could never understand, I get it. I get that it's, like, if you don't feel this way or you don't like this kind of content,
mm-hmm.
you might not like it because you might be like, this is annoying, or it just feels very, it might feel very poor me. It might feel very like, look how good of a person I am.
Yeah. Also,
but
I also think it is,
I would never tell someone to watch this first. As their first Bo Burnham.
I know. That's what I was just about to say. I was like, this is not the first Bo Burnham special you should watch.
No. You should, I think what?
What? Yes, I agree.
Is a great starting point. What? Then make happy. Then
yes, I agree. I think that really sets you up for his persona.
Yeah, and that's like his, I think that's his peak career.
Yeah.
Like, his other stuff is great,
obviously.
But it's very, like, young.
Yeah, and it's also, you know, it was a different time.
It's a different time. It's very young, it's very immature. What, he really starts to get into his stride.
Yes.
And, but I think that there is, like, I also think that's a big part of it, is if you know Bo Burnham very well.
Mm-hmm.
This special doesn't feel disingenuous at all.
No.
This special feels like has been in the making for 10 years.
It feels inevitable.
Yeah, it feels like it's been coming for 10 years.
Yes.
And if this is your first experience with Bo Burnham, you may not necessarily see that this is like a very common theme that he's finally kind of expounding upon.
Yeah.
And it may feel very disingenuous in a way that I don't think it is disingenuous.
I agree.
And even if it is, I don't care.
Same.
And that's ultimately my point, is even if it's all fake, even if Bo Burnham is fetishizing my sadness and making money off of it, he does a really good job.
Yeah, go for it.
I'd never know the difference. So he's doing better than the actual depressed people. So.
Continue on your way, Bo.
Yeah. He's doing better than anyone else, so fuck it.
Yeah, it's great. This review looks pretty,
There are, not a lot of one-star reviews. A lot of the one-star reviews are people being mad that it's not funny. Classic.
I'm like, well, did you see what and make happy?
People being like, I hate Bo Burnham. I thought I would like this because it was different, but I still hate him. Okay.
Okay.
But this one is fun.
Oh, no.
It's like, I was expecting more of these, to be honest.
Yeah, me too.
Not that many.
Interesting.
1 out of 10. Private property is technically theft, although that's not
the lyric. Private property is inherently theft.
Yeah. Extreme leftist pandering, the special. Well made in regards to lighting, music, background. He's got truly creative with a really small space to convey a message and a feeling of how 2020 was. I think Bo is an amazing songwriter.
But he's a disgusting liberal scum.
But everything gets thrown in the bin when he starts pandering in the most pseudo-intellectual way possible, throwing buzzwords and terms he doesn't seem to fully understand. Hilarious because he's 30 years old. Not like he's 12.
Why do you not think he understands, though?
Because
also, have you seen his? He has a great vocabulary.
He's very smart.
He's very smart.
Also, yeah, just so fucking stupid. What a stupid fucking sentence. I don't think he gets it. It's like, he's a 30-year-old man. And, like, also, I think, I, again, don't know him, but I think these were probably his beliefs.
Yeah. I feel like everything I've seen of Bo Burnham interview-wise has always pointed to the fact that he is liberal.
Oh, yeah.
On the left.
Saying that private property is theft when he owns a big house and has his own shiny special on Netflix, the perfect kind of extreme socialist/communist, where everyone is equal, but there's an elite people that needs to be more equal to rule over the equal citizenry.
I just read Animal Farm.
Someone read some Orwell recently. Whoa. Even though that's about
capitalism.
That's about capitalism.
I mean, it's, yeah, it's got some communist vibes, but like...
But also, it's fascism.
Yeah, haha. Making communist ideas of give the workers the means of production cool and normalizing it really makes the 100 millions killed by communism spin in their graves. First of all, I hate to be this bitch, but I will be this bitch. That communism is not true communism.
They didn't do it right.
It's fascism.
They didn't do it right, guys. They fucked it up.
They did it bad. They did. It's humanity that's bad.
Yeah. See, we just can't get it right.
Man is evil.
Yes.
It is pathetic how every time white rich Westerners talk of communism and extreme socialism while they enjoy the wealth accumulated through hard work, inheritance, or etc., and you don't get shot in the head like an Ukrainian by a Russian soldier or for a bag of flour. I come from a post-communist country, and I am getting more tired by the day of white, politically illiterate Westerners fetishizing communism. What I think is so interesting... My cat is grooming himself, literally.
On the mouse. Like, he just bit me.
Worst place he could possibly be doing this. Bitch. I do think that there is, like, a certain level of... I don't actually think a lot of people are communists.
Yeah.
Especially rich people. I don't think a lot of rich people are communists. I think that there is a massive wealth disparity in the United States mm-hmm. where people want the exact opposite of the vast wealth disparity because... It is so bad that people are like, communism sounds great because that's the exact opposite of our system. And I don't think actually communism can be done.
The straight up communism.
I do not think straight communism will ever work. Not because communism itself is like a bad system, but because...
Humans can't do it right. We're too selfish.
Because people are greedy and people are liars and people are evil and like that's...
Someone's always going to take advantage of it.
Exactly. So But I do think that, like, it's a theoretical push towards a more
equal existence. Class
structure. Yeah. And I don't think there's anything wrong with that.
No.
And I think it's nice when rich people agree with that.
Yeah, I think it's nice when rich people are like, wow, maybe, you know, the poor people shouldn't be that poor.
Because it's, they're the ones who are really going to end up making the difference, yeah. Not us.
True.
If you can get past the cheap pseudo-intellectual propagandist ideas, then watch it. For the rest, I don't recommend the special, and most of its praise comes from die-hard fans of Bo. Yes.
Yes.
Agreed. With that. That
I mean, Bo. We are die-hard Bo's hoes.
I'm a Bo's
hoe. I'm a Bo's hoe.
I agree with that. All right, guys.
Thank you so much for listening.
It was long. I thought it would be. Bo's of our Bo Burnham, like, Promising a Woman, not that that's about Bo Burnham, but is in it.
We talked a lot about him.
It was also an hour and a half. That's our two longest episodes.
Yes, both featuring Bo Burnham.
Is there a theme?
I think he just picks good projects and makes good projects.
I always know that Bo Burnham stuff is going to be good if he's in it. I just automatically am like, it's going to be good because
he doesn't say yes to bad projects.
Doesn't say yes to bad things.
Yep.
So... There we go.
Feel the same with Paul Dano.
Yeah.
I'm always like, he's going to be fine in it.
Yeah, he's going to be good.
Exactly. He's going to be good.
I don't know if I always think of projects Paul Dano yeah. are in are perfect. I've never disliked anything I've ever seen Bo Burnham in.
He's so good.
He is good.
Anyway, we were glad to talk about one of our favorite childhood comedians.
Feels great to talk about this special. Love.
I feel like I finally downloaded stuff from my brain.
Yeah, it feels, yeah, I know.
I feel cleared up in there.
Me too. I've just been thinking about it.
Yeah, me too.
It's nice to finally, get it out.
Yes, definitely.
It feels cathartic.
All right, guys. So next week, I know on Patreon we're going to be doing that new Ilana Glaser movie.
Yes.
False Positive. False Positive, which is, Rosemary's Baby type. Mm-hmm. And I'm excited about that. So that'll be good. And at some point I'm wanting to do the Don Bluth Anastasia movie.
Oh, we absolutely should.
Oh, it'll be so fun. I want to, teach you guys about Rasputin and shit. All right, guys. Thank you so much.
Thanks.
Bye.